Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Patrick Mahomes currently has the NFL world spotlight after signing his record-setting extension for nearly $500 million. Meanwhile, Tom Brady is on the back end of his career looking to make a statement with perhaps the best receiving group he's ever had. And this season, according to Fox Bet, Mahomes is predicted to have 36 and a half touchdowns, while Brady's number is 29 and a half. So, Shannon, who has the better offense next season, Mahomes or Brady?
Not even close.
Not even close, says Shannon.
Not even close. No. One guy's in a Ferrari, the other guy's in a Tesla. One guy ain't making no noise.
Not bad.
He ain't making no noise. You can't even hear no Tesla. I'm at the car like, is that car even on? Do I need to call AAA and get you some assistance? Because I don't hear your car running. You just pulled up at the stoplight. And the other one, stop it, Skip. But you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I haven't spoken
yet. You ought to be ashamed of yourself because here's the thing. Here's a guy that's been at the helm of his offense for 3 years, and one guy's just coming in after 4 months. So he's just going to just take off. Stop it. You know better than that. My homeboy's going to show y'all. He's like, you know what? I just got $503 million, but I should have got a bill because I'm underpaid.
A bill.
I should have got a bill ticket. That's what he should have got, Skip, because he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and do this thing back-to-back. I'm about to throw a 50. I'm about to throw a 50 spot. He's going to have more than 36 touchdowns.
Really?
That's a joke. He's going to have – he probably have 10 more than Brady.
Yeah.
You want to put some dew on that? 10 more touchdowns than Brady right now.
Done.
Gotcha.
Done.
I saw you coming. I knew you couldn't help yourself.
Done.
I knew you couldn't help yourself.
I got you.
I like the fact that, Skip, you heard him last year. He led his team to the Super Bowl, won the MVP, and he said, I just started learning how to read defense like 8-9 games into last season. Can you imagine?
I will give you that. I'm not sure he was reading them in the Super Bowl.
There you go.
He may be studying that Super Bowl tape right now. I blew that one, and I missed that read.
What? He's the type of guy, don't take any notes, don't even show up to class, and then pass the test. How you do that? You ain't take no notes. You ain't got nothing. Savant. Yeah. Yo, guy, Skip, he got to take all them notes. He got to break quarantine and be where he's not supposed to be, breaking in people's houses. In the parks when they go in quarantine and say social distancing, stay inside. He outside, he's practicing. My guy, just doing what he's supposed to. Skip, this is not even close. Give me Tyreek, give me Hardman, give me Watkins, give me Kelsey, give me that offensive line, and give me my homeboy. I'm good.
Really?
Yep.
Speaking of a bill, maybe the Chiefs should have sent Mahomes a bill for the interceptions he threw in the Super Bowl. If we could just quickly see those again. There's one late in the third quarter. They're down 20-10 at this point. I thought this was game over because Mahomes drops back and he throws it, and it's so far off target. It's a big pick.
The guy went up under the right. I mean, the linebacker made a great read.
Wait. Is that open? Wait a second. And here we go. Oh, that's that same play. Then early in the fourth quarter, it's the next possession. He does it again. He repeats it. He throws another pick.
A little behind it.
And it is a sorry pass.
It's a sorry pass,
and they're still behind 20-10. And it's a little low and outside to Tyreek, who took a shot. He paid for that one. He took a shot.
But he got it back.
And then, of course, a couple of minutes pass, and now it's mid-fourth quarter, and you're still trailing, and it's third and forever, and he throws this punt to Tyreek with a rusher in his face. It's kind of a no-look pass because I think he knew Tyreek was in the area code of this ball, but so could a 49er have been. This could have been intercepted. That could have been game over. It was 7-13 left, and he got away with pulling off the play of the game in the Super Bowl, and it wasn't exactly textbook.
It was textbook.
Okay, and then the only reason he kept getting away with this is because in the fourth quarter, his opposing quarterback was named Jimmy Garoppolo, who went 3-for-11 in the fourth quarter for a grand total of 36 yards and missed Emmanuel Sanders wide open with a big step on the defense right at the goal line with a minute 40 left.
What did that have to do with my homeboy?
Well, I'm
he
just
did
saying,
what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, but if this ball gets completed as it should have, He's got a big step there. If that ball's completed, they're up 27-24, and maybe your guy is the hero. Maybe he pulls them back again. It's a minute and a half to go.
What's 3 points when you've been down by 24? Okay. When you've been down by 10?
You could be, but this was San Francisco, and this was a Super Bowl, and Mahomes had not played very well up to this point. He had a grand total of 62 QBR in this game, scale 0 to 100, so it was just barely above average.
I know a guy who won a Super Bowl had a QBR worse than that the previous year.
Let's talk about that guy.
Yeah, let's do.
That guy just picked an offense that nobody thought that he would pick because he just buffaloed the whole National Football League. Nobody thought. Tom Brady to Tampa Bay? Really? Why did he pick that offense? Because Jameis Winston last year led the league in passing.
Okay.
He was second in the league in touchdown passes. He was three shy of Lamar's MVP 36. He had 33. So led the league in passing, second in touchdown passes. Meanwhile, he had 12 more turnovers than any other quarterback. By 12 turnovers, he was number one in turnovers. Yeah. That's hard to do.
Right.
That's a record that will never be broken, I think. And meanwhile, his turnovers were 26 more than Tom Brady had in New England last year, in which he had arguably the worst supporting cast, at least the worst receiving core in all of pro football, according to Pro Football Focus, last in separation. But he only had 26 fewer turnovers than Jameis. Well, think about how he's going to clean up Jameis's act this year. And again, I'm a Jameis fan, and he, in stretches last year, he was sensational. Mm-hmm. He does have a bigger arm than Tom has at this point. I will give you that. Mm-hmm. But we are talking about the GOAT. We are talking about pliability plus GOAT equals here we go again at age 43.
Your GOAT is a landline fisher. He fishes from the bank. But James is a deep sea fisher. He's throwing the ball.
And, which is why he got sacked 47 times to Tom Brady's 27 in Foxborough.
Hold on. Now, they said the offensive line was rated what last year? Yeah. And what are they rated this year?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. That was my next point. They were seventh in the league last year, which is pretty good. Mm. And still gave up 47 sacks because Jameis is holding it and holding it and holding it. I'm going to throw a home run. Boom, I got hit again. And I lost the football. That happened way too often, which is why they went 7-9 last year with all those yards and nothing to show for it. Okay, that seventh-ranked offensive line is going to replace the right tackle with a rookie named Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. They traded up a spot from 14 to 13 to snatch him.
Right.
I had him ranked the second of the four stud left tackles. He can go either way, but he'll now start out as the right tackle in Tampa. And Pro Football Focus concluded, if he grows into that job, they're going to be a top 10 offensive line again. Kansas City's offensive line last year was ranked 16th, and now they have it up to 12th. I'm not sure why, but Tampa's could be a little better than Mahomes this year if Tristan Wirfs lives up to what I think
he will.
And
you got to realize, last year, Eric Fisher missed a lot of time with an injury. Skip, you guys on Tampa, your offense is not better in any position. Mm-hmm. You're not better at quarterback. You're not better at offensive line. You're not better at the skill position. And you're definitely not better at coaching, because I take Big Red over Bruce Arians. How about that?
You know, I wouldn't have before last year. And all of a sudden, he's riding high because he finally won him a Super Bowl.
Put his best Tom
He had a hard time in lots of NFC, AFC championship games. But, man, he finally broke through last year. And thanks to Jimmy G, he got him a Super Bowl. Well,
how many Super Bowls Bruce Arians won as a head coach?
Well, okay. We're about to have one.
No, you're not about to have any.
So, last year, you ready for this? Pro Football Focus, speaking of, ranked Tampa's receivers number one in pro football. Number one.
Yes.
Last year, your receivers in Kansas City were ranked 8th. 1-8. Mm-hmm. I would say that would be advantage Brady, because last year, they didn't even have this guy named Rob Gronkowski, who is now out of football for a whole year. Healthy. He's healed up. He's refreshed. He is reunited with his soulmate GOAT quarterback, TB12, Tom Brady. Magic is going to start happening again just with Gronk. And by the way, speaking of that, the number one ranked receiving core, guess who they added? They went down in the 5th round and they got a receiver named Tyler Johnson. And by the way, Pro Football Focus also had him ranked the number one receiver. That he was their highest graded receiver in all of college football over the last 2 years. His stats are a little better over 2 years than CeeDee Lamb's or Jerry Jeudy's. Your guy's Jerry Jeudy, yep. My guy's CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
Tyler Johnson's stats were a little better. He did not run the 40. I don't think he's very fast. I think he's 4.6-ish. That's what I believe. Okay. But I watched some Minnesota games last year, and I always tell you, sometimes players just flash to me on the TV screen. Mm-hmm. Every time I turn on Minnesota, that guy's catching another pass. He is the prince of midair as far as if it's a 50-50 ball, he goes up and gets it. Well, they stole him in the fifth round, and I don't doubt he's going to contribute. And all they have on the outside are two Pro Bowl receivers. Did you have two Pro Bowl receivers on the outside?
We good. Mm. The only thing that's going to flash is Tom Brady's season before his eyes. Mm. He's like, what did I get myself into?
Really?
I should have packed this thing up and went on home. Mm. That's what's going to flash.
I've been warning you about little Scotty Miller. He's only a seventh-round pick out of Bowling Green, but we're talking a little Edelman, a little Amendola all mixed together because he has lightning short area quickness. Watch him in the slot. Watch him move and groove in the slot. He is going to get open a lot, and he's going to catch a lot of balls underneath because they not only have Gronk, but they have O.J. Howard, who ran 4.5. What's he weigh, 260?
Yeah. You see Jameis throwing that ball over the top. That ain't Brady's game.
Okay. Brady will play Brady's game.
Yeah, I know.
You just give him weapons because he had none last year. He had Julian Edelman beat up, broken down. Yeah. All he did last year, Julian Edelman, was lead the league in drops. I don't think they're going to have a receiver lead the league in drops.
The way he be fishing, you catch a little brim. You catch a little perch.
Really?
Now, if you want Big Marlin, you got to go deep. Huh. You got to go way out there. And then when you hook one, back the boat down. Mm. That ain't how Tom Brady fish. And he got a little cane pole fishing right there.
Okay, well, speaking of dinking and dacking, I told you after the draft, there's this little man out of Vanderbilt University named Keyshawn Vaughn.
Oh, there you go.
Keyshawn Vaughn. Remember the name because he can catch it as well as he can tote it. And he is stout, and he is explosive, and he will catch a bunch of little dink and dacks from Brady, and he will take them an extra 6 or 8 yards. You just watch. He's got his James White.
So, in other words.
You just watch.
Oh, so just throw him the damn ball, huh? Oh, that Keyshawn.
That Keyshawn. Just throw him the damn ball, and they will. Okay. So, I just gave you so many weapons that they have an embarrassment of weapons. I don't even know how Tom's going to keep them all happy, but you know and I know that he will figure it out.
I'm sorry, Skip.
But I'm sorry.
Ain't no way.
Yeah.
So let's put two cases of do.
Okay. I got two more cases to do on that. Well, on what? Just yards, touchdowns?
Better offense.
Better offense how? Subjectively or it's numbers?
No. Like you said, your eye test. Eye test.
Well, I don't trust you to rule on this because you have zero objectivity when it comes to number 15
and
red. I can't believe you like a Chief. You, of all Denver Broncos.
I mean, everybody know I'm a Bronco. Yeah. But I got to have you. Hey, you got Brady. So I got to have my homeboy to offset you.
Good luck. No mercy.
The resumption of the NBA season is just weeks away, and LeBron James is focused on winning a fourth career championship. We even got the news this week that Dwight Howard will be joining LeBron in Orlando. And according to a Yahoo Sports article, this is LeBron's, quote, last best chance to win a fourth ring in his prime. So, Shannon, is this LeBron's last best chance?
No. Who said it? Because they wrote it, that make it true? No, I disagree. I vehemently disagree. I staunchly disagree. I object. You ought to be ashamed, too, for reading that article, because I know you read it. Yeah, this is the best. No, it's not.
I got a chuckle at it.
Yeah, I know you did. But he ain't slowing down. And who's to say that we don't make a big blockbuster move this offseason?
You could.
Okay, then.
Yep.
So
you could have a big three.
Does it look like he's slowing down to you?
Nope.
It doesn't. Mm. So guess what? Mm. And this is going to be a tough, it's going to be a trying time. They got us down the bubble. Mm. Did you see what they feeding them down there in that bubble?
Mm-mm.
I told you it was like prison. Troy Daniels show, man, that thing potluck. My grandma said, I said, Granny, what we eat today? She said, son, it's potluck. I put a bunch of stuff in a pot. You lucky it don't kill you. That's what they feeding them down there. So how you go from having chefs?
I don't think it's potluck.
No. But it's close. Mm. I mean, they feed them like they go into summer camp, bag of chips and a little cup of fruit.
Mm.
You got guys that's making $35, $40 million. They're making $70 million, $80 million total. And chefs preparing 5-course meals 3-4 times a day. And now I got to eat out of Tupperware? They're like, when? How?
Trying to keep everybody safe.
You can be out looking. I want to be fed. You can be safe or hungry. You can't be, the NBA said, you can't be both. We're going to keep you safe, but you're going to go to bed hungry. Mm.
He wants to say sleek, right? He needs to keep
LeBron know how to do it. We got our chef coming. We one of the few that's going to be allowed to bring our chef into the public.
I did not hear that.
Now, don't worry about all that. Okay. See, there you go, Skip Bayless. Yeah. Look, it's going to be difficult. Avery Bradley, one of our starters, is not going to be there. He's a 3-and-D guy. He can play great defense. He normally takes the best of player in certain occasions, except that last time we played the Clippers.
Mm.
I got him.
Mm.
We refuse to utter his name.
Mm.
Trade old Benedict Arnold.
Mm.
But that's okay. Your day coming. That day of reckoning is coming, Skip Bayless.
Mm.
All this thing that you said, all the things that you've done to us, him too.
Mm.
That day coming. And this is not our best chance. We got plenty more chances.
I'm going to give you this much. It's probably not his last chance, but it is by far his best chance of his career to go, quote unquote, steal a championship. I told you, we just got finished watching The Last Dance. This is the fast dance to a title, and he is in position A. The basketball god said, let there be LeBron. He should be prohibitively favored to win this championship, even though he's a co-favorite, his team is, with the Eastern Conference's Milwaukee Bucks. I don't buy the Bucks. I'm sorry, they seem like regular season wonders to me.
Oh, so you don't fear the deer?
I do not fear them in the biggest series, in the biggest moments, when the money's in the push to the middle of the table.
Okay.
What happened against Kawhi Leonard's Toronto Raptors last year? The Bucks actually won the first two games. Then what happened? They lost
four straight games.
Four straight. And Giannis played like he was about 6 feet, 2 inches tall in those games.
Well, Skip, you saw what they did. They kept the man.
They walled him off, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at his numbers in those last four games, they're just pathetic.
They are.
The big picture, he, in the second halves of those four last games, he was minus 27. In the fourth quarter of those four games, he was minus 29. He just shrank. He just shriveled up and disappeared.
Right. Well, you got to keep him out of the paint. In order to beat them, Skip, you got to keep him out of the paint.
All right,
but
fine.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah, I believe this is one of his better chances. Did he have, and when he won, went to those four finals in Cleveland, was his chances better then or better now?
Way better now.
Okay, then.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah.
Except he did have that first Golden State team down 2-1 with game four in his house.
And we had no home court. And now we got no home court.
Oh, now you got no home court.
We didn't have no home court, no series either.
Well, what are you talking about? Well, all you had to do is win game four in the King's house, and you're up 3-1. You don't think you could have closed that deal?
We didn't get it done.
Okay.
So we ain't got no. We fighting all this.
Yeah, Iggy got it done.
Whatever.
He was the MVP.
We fought very hard, okay. Skip,
so
this season to get home court.
Speaking of the old Cavaliers,
I'm
looking at this Milwaukee roster, and I'm saying, where is their championship experience on this roster? Well, they got two players who played in finals.
Yeah, George Hill.
They got George Hill, infamously known in Cleveland for missing the second free throw. Am I right?
Yeah.
LeBron had the shot, passed it up to George Hill, who missed the second free throw, which led to JR's mental meltdown, right?
Yes.
Okay, and the other player on that team is one Kyle Korver, and LeBron passed up the shot, or at least the drive, to kick it to the corner to Kyle Korver, who missed that shot. So I remember those two players in Cleveland for the wrong reasons, right?
Yeah.
Those are the only two players with finals experience on the Bucks roster. So what am I supposed to think about? Is that a big threat to them? And I told you, the biggest threat is obviously in the West. It's the Clippers. But the Clippers have had their total roster together only 12 times this year. One of those 12 was the loss to the Lakers, the third game.
But if you don't mind me asking, Skip, other than Kawhi, who on the roster on the floor that's been to the finals?
Okay. I got it. Although Kawhi's got two finals.
Has Paul George been to the finals?
No.
Oh, he got a loss. He got an L on that resume, too.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pretend like you don't know that.
I know exactly what he has. And I told you that Kawhi and Paul George only played 32 games together. Your guy and his new co-star from New Orleans played 53 games together. The Clippers needed reps. They needed to finish out on time, in sequence, the regular season to figure out how to play together to beat that guy when it mattered.
Well, how are they going to do that if Kawhi playing every other day?
Well, now he will play every day.
He ain't got no choice.
Bet.
Got no choice. Well,
okay, but he's fresh. So they got that.
Oh,
but,
so he
but they don't. They don't have any experience. He just got 5 months off in year 17.
So did Kawhi.
5 months off. Kawhi's not in year 17.
Kawhi's body feel like he in year 20. That's why he missed 20 games right. last year, okay. 11 this year so far.
He needed experience with his new team. And he didn't get it.
And what about that 73 games he had a couple years ago off?
Yeah, well, he did.
73?
Okay, all right. Well, he quit on my Spurs. I've told you that from the start.
And you support
But he had a master plan in mind, and he executed it brilliantly. Toronto, I think I'll go to Toronto and just win the championship and the finals MVP, and then I will jerk the rug right out from under that man.
No, excuse me, what, no
I will shock the world.
No, first of all, that was not a master plan. What he did is kind of the equivalent of my car breaking down side the road. I get out to look and see what's wrong with it, and then I see a bag of money in the ditch. That's what happened. Kawhi stumbled upon that plan.
Well, that's his second finals MVP. So I look back at LeBron's competition in the finals. If we go back to 2012, his breakthrough year against the Baby
Thunder.
Ain't
no baby.
Okay. They were baby, but they were just loaded with potential or future Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
They got KD MVP. And Russ and James Harden, yeah. right? And I look at that team, and they did have Perk, and they did have Tabo, and they did Serge have Nick Ibaka. Collison, and they had Serge Ibaka. You know, Ibaka. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had Derek Fisher on that team. So it was a legitimate threat in the finals, and they blew out LeBron's team in game one, and then LeBron got a call in game two.
Don't do that. There you go.
Well, he did. He got a call, but that's okay. And then we look at what happened the rest of that series, and LeBron had – he was blessed that series because, remember, in game two, Shane Battier hit 5 threes. That's huge. You don't expect it from Shane Battier.
Why not?
And then game three, Dwayne Rosenshone, he was the star to me of game three. Then game four was the Mario Chalmers game. We're going to talk about Mario a little later in the show. But Mario, remember, he had 12 points in the fourth quarter to save LeBron's bacon. And then game five became the closeout game, shockingly. And Mike Miller hit 7 threes in the game. So, again, it was meant to be. He won the ring. God bless him. Way to go, LeBron. It's about damn time, he said after the
Why
game.
You do that?
Well, that's what he said.
I'm not about what he said. Okay?
I'm showing you that at least they were a legit threat in 2012. All of a sudden, I'm not sure who the legit threat is to his dominance this year. He is prohibitively favored.
No, I'm not going to let you get away
this
with that.
This is the easiest path. This should be a cakewalk in Orlando.
No, I'm not going to let you get away with this. LeBron James is the only guy that has teammates. When they do what they're supposed to do, mm-hmm. or they do what they're asked to do, they save LeBron's bacon. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has teammates that do it. That's the mark of a great team. Yada, yada, yada. But you, every time LeBron teammates do with it, so he was supposed to go out there and score 150 points mm-hmm. and win the game by himself?
If Ray Allen lifts out that shot from the corner, if he lifts it out, LeBron is 2-7 in the finals.
Okay, what if Steve Kerr missed that three? What if Paxson missed that three?
They weren't do or die.
Well, all would have happened.
Jordan would have just figured it out and finished it off. I'll just do it myself.
All I know is that LeBron, Ray Allen did hit a shot. Mm. Kudos. But who took the overtime over?
My team was shot in the heart.
They don't shot in the heart. Wow.
Shot in the heart. Lying dead on the floor.
But
they couldn't even pick themselves up psychologically.
But what about game one? You talk about LeBron James went and he fought in the stands. He wouldn't even sit with his teammates.
Game one at Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he sat about 4 feet away. He said, don't associate me with that bunch over there.
Coronavirus, huh? Social distance.
Oh, was it? he saw it coming. He saw it coming years ago, right? Yep. He's so ahead of the curve. I'm staying away. Okay. No mercy.
Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson is facing criticism after sharing an anti-Semitic quote that was attributed to Adolf Hitler. Jackson also shared admiration for Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. Jackson has since said people took his post the wrong way, and he has no hatred in his heart towards anyone. The Eagles released a statement that in part said the posts were, quote, offensive, harmful, and absolutely appalling. So, Shannon, should he be punished?
Skip, they're on a slippery slope because precedent has already been set. As you mentioned it earlier, the Riley Cooper incident happened in Philadelphia in 2013. And this is what they said. This is what the Eagles wrote when they their statement. In a meeting with Riley yesterday, we decided together that the next step will to seek outside assistance to help him fully understand and impact the words of his actions. Mm-hmm. Skip, where was the appalling statement? Skip, where's the offensive statement? Mm,
that's a good point. Thank you.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Skip, this is what we're fighting for. You see the difference in how offensive and outraged they were when DeSean Jackson tweeted what he tweeted and when Riley Cooper said what he said. Precedent has been established. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe another organization could have said, you know what, DeSean, we're going to suspend you and we're going to fine you. But it's going to be hard for Eagles. The Eagle organization they did fine Riley Cooper, but it's going to be hard for them to suspend DeSean. Now, they can do what they want to do. It's their organization. But it's going to look highly hypocritical, Skip, because an incident happened similar under your watch, and you sent the guy home and you gave him an extension. So the precedent, the groundwork has been laid how you view this subject. Now, people view things differently. Now, I understand the cancel culture now, Skip. Mm-hmm. They're not giving a whole lot of second chances, especially in 2020. One slip up, I mean, Skip, we see people saying things with the movement and protesters, and, hey, internet's doing their investigation, find out where that person works, send that information to his employer. Employer said, nah, there's too much heat, bro. It's too hot out here for me. You got to go. So... But the precedent for the Eagles and how they handled the situation prior has been set. It's going to be interesting to see mm-hmm. how they deal with this, but the precedent is there, Skip. Mm.
Okay. You started this show by saying that you reached out to DeSean.
I did.
And he reached back, and you had a good conversation.
I did.
And I trust your radar. I trust your... if I might, your BS detector, mm-hmm. and I think you bought his apology as incredibly sincere, yeah. like convincingly yes. sincere, right?
Yes.
From what you heard
yes.
over your phone.
I did.
Not eye to eye, but just over the phone.
Over the phone.
I've been around DeSean, had him on shows before, and I've had a couple of off-camera conversations with him. And I want to like him. I want to believe in him and his apology. And I hate that he is going through this. But I do believe, and I'll get to the why of this in a moment, I do believe he needs to be suspended. Just in the vacuum of what just happened, mm-hmm. he needs to be suspended one game just to send a message. And this is more of a league issue than a Philly issue. Mm-hmm. That the message needs to be sent. You just can't do that. You can't go there on any form of social media, mm-hmm. as you said earlier. Once you invoke that Hitler word, that, mm-hmm. that Hitler name, mm-hmm. it's over.
Yeah.
You are talking about the most infamous anti-Semite who ever walked this earth, the devil incarnate. Mm-hmm. And once you go there, no matter what you're trying to do with the rest of your post, it's disqualified.
It's moot.
Yes. Okay. So back to the Riley Cooper incident. Mm-hmm. You can look up the clips. I was outraged the next day on the old show I did on the other network. And I called for that man's job. You have to cut him today. Mm-hmm. There's no way the black players, the black leaders on that football team can reside with him in mm-hmm. the locker room the rest of this year. It's over.
Right.
Once that word, the most evil word in the English language, tumbles out of your mouth, even though you are intoxicated, as you always say, that is the truth serum, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you always say? It's
drunks, kids, and angry people.
Okay, and he was two of those three.
Drunk and angry, huh?
Yeah. And maybe he's still acting a big kid, but I don't know. But he's at a country western concert, and he gets mad at some of the security people. And I'll fight all those N's. And we're talking about the N-word that right. ends in the hard E-R.
Correct.
And once that tumbles out of your mouth, for me, you are disqualified right. permanently. You are done. For me, he was done in the National Football League. To my shock, Michael Vick, whom we've had on the show many times, stood up for him the next day and said, I've always thought that Riley was a good dude and we forgive and we forget.
But Skip, remember, Mike came out here and said...
He regretted it. Oh.
He said because Chip Kelly put him on the spot.
Yes, he did.
He said, Mike, you know, it'd be, you know, you're the leader of this team and Riley has apologized. It'd be great if you were to... So he put
him in a bad spot.
Exactly.
And Mike... had been through the ringer, been to prison. I think he was trying to do
right,
the right thing,
right,
you know,
right.
trying to be a good man. And and give another man a second chance.
Fact, you took the words right out of my mouth. Right. They gave me a second chance. Let me give this man a second chance.
And he says today, you know, when we've talked to him about it, I regret that I did that. Not only did they give him a second chance, they gave him another contract a few months later.
Yeah.
They gave him, it was like 5 years, $25 million. What? I remind you, that was the Chip Kelly regime. Mm-hmm. And Chip Kelly was constantly at odds with his skill position players, the black players.
Yeah.
And one after another, he rid of them. Right?
Yep, DJ
and Sean. There was always a lot of back and forth crossfire and negativity between Chip Kelly and his black players, and some of that continues today at UCLA, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Michael Vick saved Riley Cooper's job to me.
He did.
And yet, that was just flat out wrong. Well, again, the oldest cliche, two wrongs don't make a right. That happened, and you were right about that. That organization looked the other way, led by Chip Kelly. And by the way, when Chip Kelly traded Deshaun to Washington, as he left town, he just basically ran him out of town.
Right.
But remember, it felt like there was a character assassination attempt leaked by the Eagles, by the Chip Kelly regime. I won't go into the details, but I staunchly defended Deshaun over all of the above because it felt like they were trying to just besmirch his character as he left town.
Hey, Skip, in the last part of the Eagles statement said, he needs to reflect, as an organization, we will provide the resources he needs to do so. Now, if I'm not mistaken, was Mr. Lurie the owner of the Eagles? If I'm not mistaken, was Howie Roseman the general manager of the Eagles when Riley Cooper said what he said? Now, Skip, if they had followed your advice and released Riley Cooper for what he has said, and all of a sudden Deshaun tweets this, I got no problem. I got no problem with it. Because it seems, what I don't want is to feel like that black feelings aren't as important as someone else's feelings.
Okay.
And I don't want that to happen.
With
because
you.
That's what we see, and this is what we're, because if you do that, now black people say, see, this is what we've been talking all along, that we don't get fair treatment in the judicial system. We don't get fair treatment on the in employment because he uttered something, he got a promotion. We uttered something, we lose our job. So I don't want it to be that, Skip. If the Eagles had said, you know, our president, when you say something like this or you do something like this, we cut bait. Skip, I got no problem. I got no problem whatsoever with that.
Okay, back to Deshaun. The times we've had him on this show or I've had him on other shows, the irony of this discussion we're having is he's always very careful and guarded on the air to the point that I feel like I'm trying to pull teeth to get him to say something.
Right.
You ask him anything remotely controversial, it's, no, I'm not going to touch that one. So that's why I was like, Deshaun, what are you doing?
Right.
Deshaun's a smart young man, but he's 33 now. He's entering his 13th year in the league, so it's hard for me to give him that rookie or second-year player pass of, you're just naive. You just didn't know what you were doing. He's heard countless lectures from countless executives and ex-players in the National Football League about the dangers of social media. He had to know that you cannot hit send because you are risking suspension. You're risking your very job if you hit send on the wrong tweet or post.
Correct.
So, in the end, I look at this young man who, out of Long Beach Poly, went to the University of California at Berkeley. It is one of the most distinguished institutions of higher education in America.
One of the most open-minded, Skip. You remember what happened to...
The protests in the 60s, they all started at Berkeley.
Correct.
Right? Okay. So, it's hard for me to believe that Deshaun Jackson, at age 33, is completely naive to Hitler.
Oh, yeah, he knows who Hitler is.
Okay, all right, got that. And this is, my point is, Louis Farrakhan, we haven't discussed him here, we discussed him earlier in the show, but no matter what you think of him, and you've had conversations with him about these issues, but Deshaun had two other posts on, I believe, Saturday and Monday, expressing admiration for Louis Farrakhan. whom the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center has identified, or they have identified, as anti-Semitic. Deshaun deleted those posts, but they set the wrong tone for the Hitler post.
Right.
Because it looked like one, two, three, right? So because you go three in a row that appear to have at least anti-Semitic undertones to them. Now I'm saying, Deshaun, you've gone too far. A message has to be sent, if not by the Eagles, by the league, to say, I'm sorry, this is, like the league said, called it highly inappropriate, offensive, and divisive. Can't do it. Got to suspend him for one game. I get the double standard. You're saying, well, wait a second. Riley Cooper back to Deshaun. It doesn't. 2 + 2 don't equal 4 there, right? It's not fair. Right. They don't equal, 2 + 2 don't equal fair.
Fair, right? Correct. Okay. Skip, my thing for players or anyone moving forward, never use a bad person to make a point, even if you believe it's valid or well-intended.
Right.
If you do that, I believe you'll be okay. Because it's the fact that he attributed that quote to Hitler, where he's saying, trying to empower the blacks and like, pull together, let's come together. Mm-hmm. We have a voice. Our voice is larger than you may realize if we all sing in unison, if we all yell in unison. Okay, that's a very valid point. But because you attributed the point to him, people are like,
that's game over. Even though the back end of that quote, I get what he's saying because it uplifts.
Right.
The quote uses a different term, an old school term, but it uplifts the black community.
Correct.
As the black community could save you from.
Right.
Okay. I don't want to get into the details.
So just so people at home are clear, I vehemently disagree with what Deshaun Watson tweeted. I don't co-sign that. And he has to do a better job of understanding what he's tweeting, because when you retweet something, Skip, you co-signed it. You know how I know? Because I just co-signed an apartment for my daughter in Indiana. Hey, I co-signed. I'm on the hook.
You are.
I'm on the hook. Yep. So she missed a payment. Guess who they're looking for? They're looking for daddy to pay that bill. So, okay. Deshaun, understand that. Anybody out there at home, understand that.
If you like something.
You.
Okay.
Skip, people send me a lot of things and want me to repost it. I open it up and I read it. Like, nah, this ain't on brand for Shane, bro. I got to let that one go.
Even though there might be kernels of it, nuggets of it, to say, oh, I'm with that, but I can't.
As my grandma said, boy, it ain't enough meat on that bone. Let it go. Deshaun, you made a horrible mistake here. And hopefully, I believe you were sincere in your apology, but it's not up to me. It's up to the Eagles organization. They're going to do what they're going to do. But like I said, I believe the precedent and the framework, the groundwork has been laid considering. But I can't understand, Skip, how you issue a statement regarding Riley Cooper, said in a meeting with Riley yesterday, nothing about appalling, nothing about offensive.
That's appalling.
Yes! Thank you. No mercy.
A report surfaced yesterday that Cam Newton is fully aware that the starting quarterback position in New England is not his and that there will be an open competition for the job. Cam also reportedly understands that it might be difficult to get up to speed with a short-ended offseason. Now, Shannon, should Cam be upset, and how should he feel about this open competition?
Skip, he knew what the deal was when he signed with the Patriots. Bill Belichick, nothing is promised with him. And the mere fact that he had a one-year deal told Cam that he was going to have to win this job. It wasn't going to be given to him. Teddy Bridgewater is the starter in Carolina. You know how we know, Skip? They gave him 3 years, $66 million. That's how you know you're the starter. Tom Brady's the starter in Tampa. You know how I know, Skip? They gave him 2 years, $50 million, fully guaranteed. Cam Newton got 1.75 with 550 guaranteed. So in other words, you're in a dogfight. You win the job, you start. If not, you hold a clipboard until deemed necessary. That's just the way it works in New England, Skip. You don't get promised anything. He makes it a competition. He doesn't want you to rest on your laurels. Well, I got this thing made. You know, I can sit back and, you know, fat cat now. You're not fat catting on Bill Belichick dying. He will get you up out of there.
And he paid you like a dime.
Yeah, exactly. So he won't even let you the fat cat skip, but he gave you chicken feet.
He did.
So that's just the way it is. I think Cam understands that. Cam understands he's going to have to go in there. He's going to have to work his tail off, and he's going to have to earn this job, which I believe Cam Newton will. But I don't think Cam is surprised by anything that's going on in New England. I'm sure Coach Belichick conveyed that to him when they had conversations that You win the job, you start. If not.
Okay. So I read this yesterday, and I sat back and tried to let it compute, let it process. 5 years ago, Cam Newton was the MVP of this league and lifted a 15-1 team into the Super Bowl. He did not play well in the Super Bowl, neither did Peyton Manning.
Right.
In fact, he played better than Peyton, but the Denver defense just took the game over, especially Von Miller. The point is, that man has gone from that, and even a spectacular stretch in 2018 before he hurt his shoulder, to this. He has been relegated to fighting for a starting job with Brian Hoyer, who is now on his 10th NFL stop. He's been to the Patriots 3 times, but he has changed teams 10 times.
Right.
Think about it. Is that not the ultimate definition of journeyman quarterback?
Well, Skip, that's how it works. You leave your work on good terms, you should always be able to go back.
Brian Hoyer is not bad. He's had his moments.
Yeah.
He's 16-22 as a starter. He had a nice stretch for the Browns 1 year.
Played well in Houston.
He played well in Houston, got him in the playoffs, started a playoff game. He has 52 touchdowns in his career to 34 interceptions. Not bad.
Right.
He really knows this offense. So I do not doubt that if they do play a couple of preseason games, and I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever, or even in camp practice, I don't doubt that Brian Hoyer will play pretty to very well.
Correct.
Jared Stidham stunk it up his second year at Auburn. He was very good his first year, but he stunk. He lost his way, lost his confidence. He often lost his poise in games, which is why he fell to the fourth round. So the last time I saw him in a competitive situation, he was not great.
Right.
He is going to get an equal shot at winning this job because it appears, by all accounts in New England, Belichick has already developed sort of a soft spot for a kid he calls Stid.
Mm-hmm.
Never called Brady any sort of Tommy type.
Yeah, he called him.
He didn't call him Stid. Okay, so now, Cam Newton. What did I say repeatedly about Cam when he sat on the open market? He was born to be a starter and a star.
Right.
You can't have Cam holding a clipboard. His personality is too big. He has too much pride. Don't do that to him. It's all or nothing with him, and it should have been all with the Chargers out here in Los Angeles. It's like, how can you not take Cam Newton? He's better than Tyrod. I think he's better than that kid out of Oregon they drafted, Justin Herbert.
Skip, if I'm working and all of a sudden I lose my job and nobody's calling, I send out my resume and nobody calling, and nobody calls, and all of a sudden after 3-4 months, a job opportunity comes up, but it's not even a tenth or 1/15 of the pay that I'm normally making. Now, I can sit at home and be prideful. It says, you know what, man? This is beneath my dignity.
Okay, well, it is. This is. But he got his foot back in the door, and he has a chance and the challenge of replacing the GOAT in Foxborough. That's pretty cool. But he's doing it for a base salary of barely over $1 million.
Yeah, okay.
Patrick Mahomes just got a signing bonus of $63.7
million this year.
Woo! Okay. Patrick Mahomes could make $500 million over the next 12 years.
Ooh.
And Cam is making $1 million, and he's a former MVP. I'm just saying, the optics of it are just staggering to me. I don't get it. It's hard to process that
me. It's called supply and demand.
Okay, I got it.
One guy was in heavy demand. Other guy wasn't.
So did you watch the video Cam posted? I think it was Sunday on IG.
I did not.
He just went off because his pride is killing him, and he has massive pride, and pride that he has earned in the National Football League. We both agreed he sort of died for the cause in Carolina. He just got beat all to hell by making plays to try to elevate the Carolina Panthers because he can beat you with his physicality as well as with his arm. So in the IG post, he just goes off. It's like he finally just lost it and said, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to say what I believe. And the first thing he did, he took a shot at Teddy Bridgewater. He said, you're going to choose that over this? And then he said, I am a monster, but I am tired of being humble now. And he went on to say, I'm tired of all this humble SH because when you humble, they start taking advantage of you. Well, Belichick was able to take advantage of his quote-unquote his humbled situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the final analogy was an animal kingdom analogy. And he talked about all the animals out in the animal kingdom. He said, you got the hyenas, they do what they do, and the elephants do what they do, and the giraffes and the antelopes, the chimpanzees, even the gorillas, they do what they do. But there's one MF'ing animal in the jungle, and when he roar, everything stops. And you know and I know what he is talking about. And he says, I am about to MF'ing roar. Okay?
We get a metaphor.
Huh?
We get a metaphor, but theoretically, lions are not in the jungles. That's tigers. Okay. But we get the point where he's making.
Well, that's what he's saying. Okay, I got you. They're out on the Serengeti.
Yes. Yes.
Out in the plains. But but the point is, when they roar for 10 miles, other animals are like, huh.
You know it. It's unmistakable.
Because that's the one force you cannot defeat.
Right.
And it's hard to even outrun that force.
Right.
Unless you're a gazelle, maybe you got a chance. Right. Right? So the point is, he is flexing all of his considerable muscles because his pride has been battered here, right?
Right.
And he's saying, okay, I'm relegated. I got to go up there. I got to compete with Brian Hoyer and Jared Stidham. It's a three-way battle.
Right.
An equal battle. We all get our chances. Are the reps going to be a third, and a third? And I guess so, right?
Yeah.
Whew. So it's come to this for Cam Newton?
Yeah, Skip, I get what Cam's saying, but Cam has to understand. Cam, your stock wasn't that high. You got to rebuild it. Skip, you remember when you rented a car, you basically had, you know, you had Hertz, you had Avis, you had Dollar. Okay, Hertz went bankrupt. They selling for, you know, 10, 90 cents. Google and Apple selling for $300, $400, $500.
No, I got
okay, they're valuable. Cam, there are other teams didn't see the value in you. You have to restore that. You can't get mad at us. Stop, and plus another thing, get off social media.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you're reading that, oh, Cam's been humble. You're reading that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cam, it ain't what they say. It's what you do.
Yep.
They can call. They can say whatever. And I have to tell you, Skip, my grandmother used to tell me all the time. My brother would call me a name. I said, Granny, he called me a name. She said, boy, it ain't what he called you. What you answer to?
I know.
All that other stuff, Cam, is unimportant.
Yep.
If you go be Cam Newton, if you go do what I believe you can do and what you've done the previous year and when you were healthy, and it's a no-brainer.
Okay. I still think Belichick has this master plan, so to speak, of using multiple quarterbacks. He might have a Cam package of plays that work for Cam. He might have Stid plays that are just more.
So where's Brian Hoyer?
I don't know, but Brian Hoyer's probably going to be in this mix.
He got a package too?
Yeah. Well, he might. He might, because he's going to be the most accomplished at running this offense.
Right.
You can bet on that.
Right.
But my point is, if Cam Newton does not win any part of this job, if he is just simply the backup quarterback, I don't love this, man.
I don't either. Woo. I don't either. But I ain't even worried about it. I don't even think like that. Cam got this one. I ain't even worried about it. Skip. I mean, look, Secretary Big Red, that chestnut bay coat, it do what it do. He was the best in the field. Ray wasn't. People like making it seem like it was Ron Turcotte. It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't.
No, Lord, no. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
No, before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it.
You remember Belmont?
Yes. 31 and a half length.
Okay.
Now, a little competition is good. I feel like it lights a fire. And we've got some more competition for you. Randy Moss racked up 23 receiving touchdowns from Tom Brady in 2007, but that didn't stop the Hall of Famer from singing the praise of Patrick Mahomes. Moss said in his prime he would have had 30 touchdowns if he played with Patrick Mahomes. So, Shannon, was this disrespectful to Brady?
Absolutely not. Because Mahomes had that kind of arm. He got that arm that can get him the ball 60, 70 yards down the field, throw it up and jump. Skip Bayless? I mean, why is it disrespectful? No, it's realistic. Mm. He said, if I'd have had a quarterback that can launch that ball like Mahomes and believe in me and say, you know, when I say put it up down the field, going to give me that opportunity? Because he going to throw caution to the wind. Absolutely. Stop it. Ain't even a question. Do you believe Tom Brady is more arm talented than Patrick Mahomes at any point in his 20-year career? A simple yes or a simple no will suffice.
Well, arm talent, where did that get Jeff George?
Whoa.
Where did it get it?
This ain't no Jeff George here. Mm. This here boy like this, he got arm talent like number 7. Mm-hmm.
I saw some Jeff George throws in the Super Bowl late third quarter, early fourth.
You be hating. Mm. Skip, I mean, just imagine. Mahomes throwing the ball up to Randy down the field. He's putting the ball up to Tyreek. Tyreek's what, 5'8", 5'9"? So imagine 6'4 and a half, and you're putting the ball up down the field.
Yep.
At 30, Randy hit nail on the head. I was going to say like 28, but I trust Randy. 30. Tubbs, you upset.
Look, I keep asking myself, what just happened to Randy Moss? What just happened between Randy Moss and Tom Brady? Did they have a falling out that I'm not aware of? I don't know, because every time Randy lately has talked about Tom Brady, it comes across as negativity to me.
How?
Tom Brady. Well, you know, last week it was about
more fun
with Cam Newton, the offense is going to be a lot more fun to watch. Really? Okay, just for the record again, Randy Moss isn't just good on TV. He is great on TV. And I love it that he has opinions. I don't love this opinion because it hurts me to my core.
Because it's true.
Those two guys in 2007, they made NFL history. That was a union made in Pro Football Hall of Fame heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It was... And again, I am the biggest Randy Moss fan in that he was the greatest, most electrifying deep threat this league has ever seen. As you point out, 6'4 and a half, 4'240, with not good hands, just great hands.
Yep.
Like, they were so great that everything was effortless. There was never a catch where I said, oh, that was a great catch, because he just sort of effortlessly just snagged it, right? So when you put that with the GOAT Tom Brady and 2007, every record fell. I know Peyton broke a number of the records, but one record has stood, and that's 23 touchdown catches by Randy Moss in 2007. So I'm thinking, don't you cherish those moments? Don't you honor those moments? Don't you regard them with such sort of historical perspective? Like, that was very special that we got to do that together.
Yeah.
That you would honor Tom a little bit by saying, well, I don't know. You know, maybe they throw more in Kansas City. Maybe I would have more of a chance.
Yeah.
You could put it in a different perspective. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd catch 30. 30. You know, like, it would be easy 30. And it comes across as disrespectful to Tom. It comes across as, oh, well, come on. Obviously, Mahomes is a lot better than Tom Brady. No, he's not. No. And I don't believe that Randy Moss believes that Mahomes is that much better. Did he get caught up in the moment on TV? I don't know, maybe, but in the end, 2007 was so special to Brady that we talked about this last week. He picked it his defining moment in his career, not any Super Bowl. He played 9 Super Bowls in 20 years and won 6 of them. Mm-hmm. He picked an obscure game with Randy Moss in 2007 at Buffalo on a Sunday night, mid-30s, reasonably high wind, and he thought it was as close to perfection as he will ever get. He said, ever since that moment, I've been trying to get back to that. He went 31 of 39 at Buffalo. 4 touchdown passes went to Randy Moss. The first 7 times, the only 7 times Tom had the ball or the offense had the ball, they scored touchdowns.
Right.
So he went 7 for 7 in touchdowns, 4 touchdown passes to Randy Moss. Wouldn't you hold that dear to your heart?
I mean, my homeboy said, I did that in the playoff game.
Oh.
He said, you remember what I did in Houston?
Mm.
I mean, how many times we have the ball and I get touchdown, 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 touchdown?
Well, how about the first touchdown? 5 times he has the ball?
Whoa. I'm just saying. He's done that. His second start of his career. Those 5 touchdowns on the road. Didn't he do that against the Steelers? So, ball, Skip, stop this. And I get it. Look, you're right. You have to be very careful of when you, like, I remember going to the Pro Bowl, and, you know, Skip, I'm catching passes from Marino and Warren Moon and Joe Montana.
Yeah, you better be careful.
Yeah, better. Hey, I'll catch y'all when I see y'all at the Pro Bowl. I got to play with this guy for 16 games.
Yep.
I'm not fooling with y'all. Oh, it was great. I had a great time over there. I'm taking 7. I ain't no dummy. Hey, that man got pride.
I just wonder if Randy watched just 2 years ago what Tom Brady did to that man. Remember the first
Wait.
The first game was at Foxborough on a Sunday night. Tom Brady threw in the fourth quarter for 182 yards and won a shootout with the young gun. And then he went to his place at Arrowhead and converted 3 straight 3rd and 10s in overtime to beat him in the AFC Championship game.
I'm going to do you like you do me. Does Pat Mahomes play defense? Oh. Yeah, because, you know, when Tom Brady, when Tom Brady got, when somebody lightened up Tom, oh, does Tom play defense?
Mm.
Oh.
Well, for half a billion, maybe he should play defense, right?
No, we just go, woo, ain't no telling what he might do.
Steve. Yeah.
For half a bill, he got security now? Mm. He's like, I ain't got to worry about nothing. I can throw caution to the wind.
Mm.
60 touchdowns.
Really?
Might happen.
We got the Michael Jordan of the NFL. Is that
call
what
the shots.
Really?
60 might happen.
60 might happen. I'll bet you 10 cases of Diet Dew he doesn't throw 60 touchdown passes this year.
You know what happens, Kip? Mm. They get the big lead, they come out. Kind of like us in 98. Ain't no telling how many touchdowns I could have had if I had to take me out, beating the Cowboys.
I'll bet you 100 cases of Diet Dew they don't go 16-0 this year.
No.
Okay,
no. Thank Kip, you. At the end of, they're going to be in Tampa. Mm. They're going to probably be in Tampa. Your team won't.
Oh, well, wait, my team lives in Tampa.
You think Brady?
My team's going to be the first Super Bowl team to play a home Super Bowl.
You think Brady might be willing to sublease Jeter's house to my homeboy? Because we going to need it.
Really? For the week?
Yeah.
Oh, he could come live with him, I guess.
No, we want no part. Nah, we want no part. We don't want that non-playoff mojo to rub off on us.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, Tom's gotten the best of him most of the time before he'll get him again.
No. Well, the only time you can get him this time is they meet in the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't want that skin.
Yep.
Hang 100 on y'all.
No mercy.